Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Respected brothers and elders, before we commence tonight's program, a humble appeal is made for all the brothers in the Sahen to kindly come into the masjid. And those who are outside can come into the masjid as well. There may be some of our brothers who wish to leave. So I hope that the cars are not obstructing those brothers who wish to leave. If you feel that the car may be obstructing any person, then kindly remove your car so that we don't have to interrupt the program. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala Rasulihil Kareem, amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد سمع الله قول التي تجادلك في زوجها وتشتكي إلى الله والله يسمع تحاوركما إن الله سميع بصير صدق الله العظيم. As I mentioned last Friday in the Jummah talk, that the Laylatul Qadr night is not necessarily the 27th night. If Laylatul Qadr night was specified as the 27th night only, then our brothers wouldn't have made itikaf right from the beginning of the last 10 nights. They would have just come on the 27th night only and made itikaf. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has commanded us to search for Laylatul Qadr in the last 10 nights, and specifically the odd nights of the last 10 nights. So Laylatul Qadr could have been on the 21st or the 23rd or the 25th. Perhaps it may be tonight even, or even on the 29th night. But we find that generally our masajid, mashallah, are more full on the 27th night. We have great hopes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if Allah wishes, it could even be tonight. We have already given the virtues on Laylatul Qadr. We discussed the brief tafsir on Laylatul Qadr tonight. We are not going to speak on Laylatul Qadr. We have spoken about it extensively already in the last few nights, and we have been having programs. We'll continue our tafsir, inshallah. Our khatam will be made, inshallah, of Taraweeh on Saturday night, inshallah. Many of the masajid will finish tonight, and many will finish on the 29th night. There's no hard and fast rule that we have to finish on the 27th night. Previously, we finished on the 27th night, so this year we made it 29th night to show it's not necessary that you have to finish on the 27th night. Nonetheless, in the past, it has been many occasions where Laylatul Qadr happened to be on the 27th night. So again, we have great hopes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses all of us with this Mubarak night. It is very important, brothers and elders, to be attentive. Our hearts must be towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are all weak. We have come here to connect ourselves with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse that I recited, this is the first surah of the 28th juz, Surah Al-Mujadila. Al-Mujadila in Arabic means that woman who disputed, she contested, she brought forward a case. This is the ismul fa'il, Al-Mujadila. What was her story? Hazrat Khawla radiallahu ta'ala anha, she comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She is in the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha is also present. She's standing in one corner, and the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very small. But Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha is standing on one side, and she sees this woman. She had sought permission from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then she asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a question, a query. She put forward her case. And what was her mas'ala? What was her problem? She says, Ya Rasulullah, my husband Aus radiallahu ta'ala, he has uttered a statement to me. And he said, Anti alayya ka dhahri ummi, that you are now haram upon me like the back of my mother. In other words, just as my mother is not permissible for me, you too, you are no longer permissible for me. What happens to me? Rasulullah is silent. It is mentioned in the tafsir kitabs that right till that point, no law had come down to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specifically regarding This type of action, yes, this used to take place in the time of Jahiliyyah. Pre-Islam, these statements were prevalent, used to occur. And in pre-Islam, this statement tantamounted to divorce, talaq. Now this woman is putting this forward, this case, and she's saying, Ya Rasul, what is my fate? What is my condition? What happens to me? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no wahi that has come down. What must he reply to her? She's insisting, and she's asking Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now what do I do? And she says, my husband, he has used my wealth and my beauty. I bore his children. And now he leaves me like this, he abandons me like this. What do I do? Rasulullah explains to her, see, as yet no law has come down. And this law is the law of zihar. Of course, Allah Ta'ala mentions the law after that. We're not going to go into the mas'ala. But he says, as far as pre-Islam was concerned, it tantamounted to talaq. She says, Ya Rasulullah, no, it can't. And what is going to happen to me then? What is my position? Where do I go? What must I do now? I've got no wealth. Now when my beauty is finished, he is doing this to me. So when she sees she is not getting any so-called positive answer and response, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not say any statement until Allah had commanded him to give any verdict in any condition. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَىٰ. He turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right there. اللهم إني أشكو إليك أمري. Oh Allah, I complain to you of my matter. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, I could not hear her whole conversation. I just heard her mentioning these few words. And this woman had hardly even left there when Allah ta'ala then revealed this surah. Allah says, قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ. Most certainly Allah has heard the statement, the cry, the case, the plea of allati tujadiluka fi zawjiha, of the one who is contesting to you, the one who is putting forward this dispute to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, regarding her husband. Wa tashtaki ila Allah. When she saw she could get no response, she turned to Allah, she complained to Allah. Wallahu yasma'u tahawurakuma. Allah listens to, Allah had heard, Allah listens to your conversation. Inna Allah sami'un basir. Allah is all hearing. Allah is all watching. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then revealed the ayats of zihar. And of course, it's a long explanation, but she was not divorced from her husband. The point here, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent down this verse in response to this woman who cried to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of her condition. What is the lesson from this? We have problems, especially our mothers and sisters, many times. They are left in a very pitiable condition. They try to put forward the case to family members, many others. For some reason, nobody seems to listen to their plea and cry. Not necessarily our sisters, some of us, whether you're male, female, whatever it may be. But what did she do? She turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She complained, she cried to Allah. And that is what is required from us. That we should be turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the one who listens to all complaints. Allah is all hearing. Allah is all watching. Sayyidina Aisha says, I could not even hear the whole case. I was standing right nearby there, in the tiny room of Rasulullah SAW. But Allah had heard her cry in the heavens. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an was once moving with the Sahaba. They were moving towards a destination. They were in a hurry, on a journey. When suddenly this woman comes, Khawla radiallahu ta'ala anha, she stops Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, Amir al-Mu'mineen, I need to speak to you. He dismounts, he goes on one side and he stands there and he's busy listening to her. And she's giving a whole story. Some of the Sahaba became impatient. Amir al-Mu'mineen, we need to go. This old woman, she's holding him back. And because of this, all of us now are delayed. Can't she ask some other time? What is the problem? Sayyidina Umar al-Mukhattab radiallahu anhu listened to her attentively until she finished the whole story, whatever it was. And then when she left, he tells them, it is not possible for Umar to continue this journey. When such a woman comes with his story, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had heard her plea in the skies in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she is Khawla radiallahu ta'ala anha. How can Umar now just move on? When Allah had heard her cry, and Allah said, قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. So respected brothers and elders, learn to beg from Allah, learn to cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever our scenario is, whatever the case is, whatever the problem is. Remember in Taif, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was beaten by the people of Taif, when he went to give dawah to them. They threw stones at him. They sent the vagabonds to chase Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah's feet was bleeding. When he falls unconscious, and after some time he regains his consciousness, what did he say? Allahumma inni ashku ilayka dha'fi wa wabathi. Oh Allah, I complain to you my weakness, my feebleness. Ya Allah, you're the only one who can respond. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listens to every person's complaint, every person's plea, every person's case. Allah is well aware. Man cannot assist us. Therefore, we mentioned the hadith of Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. He said, وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. When you seek help, seek Allah's assistance. When you need anything, وَإِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. When you have to make a dua, then ask Allah Rabbul Izzat, supplicate to Allah. Because it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who can come to your rescue. He is a true solver of all problems. When you cry to Allah first, not last, when you cry to Allah first, Allah makes the means at your disposal. Allah ta'ala prepares the way for you. In fact, in another verse, which we heard in tonight's Taraweeh, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has genuine taqwa, and the whole para, in fact the whole Quran, every now and then, اتَّقُ اللَّهِ اتَّقُ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ. In tonight about 3 or 4 verses, just on وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ. In Surah Talaq also, about taqwa, taqwa. Allah ta'ala warns us, when a person is giving talaq, how does he give talaq? He must not go beyond the bounds, beyond the limitations. He must not hurt his wife. وَمَنْ يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ. We're not going to go into the details. This particular verse, this particular surah, Surah Al-Mujadilah, or Al-Mujadilah, in this particular surah, every single verse, not line, every single verse has got the name Allah in it, Ismul Jalala. Open and see. Every single verse, قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ. In the next verse, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَعَفُوٌ غَفُورٌ. The third verse, وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ. Throughout, you'll find in every single verse the word Allah. Coming back to the other incident, I was saying, وَمَنْ يَتَقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Auf bin Malik al-Ashja'i radiallahu ta'ala, he comes to Rasulullah, says, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I've got a serious problem. What's the matter? My son has been kidnapped by the enemy. His mother is very, very concerned. She's worried. She's restless. What do we do? In the narration is mentioned, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him, adopt taqwa and recite in abundance, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So immediately they do this. They're busy reciting in abundance, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. It had already been a few days since the son was taken as a captive, or he was kidnapped by the enemy. And it so happened that the parents have now followed the instructions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are reciting, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, in abundance. When suddenly Allah ta'ala makes the means and makes the way for that person. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? The enemy who had taken this person as a captive and had kidnapped him, somehow they became negligent of this son, Salim radiallahu ta'ala. He managed to break loose. He escaped. And as he was escaping, he saw a whole herd of the camels belonging to the enemy. So he brought along this whole herd of camels with him. And then he comes to his parents who see him. They are elated. They run to him. They are so happy. And the father says, these camels belong to... He said, no, the same people who kidnapped me. I saw they were fast asleep. So I brought the camels as well. Hey, we would have got excited. Quietly put it one side. We'll see it later on. Don't show anybody. The father said, let's go and ask Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Is this halal for us or haram? They go to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah reveals this verse, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever fears Allah, Allah makes a makhrajan, an exit, a passage, an opening for him from all difficulties. And وَيَرْزُقُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Allah sustains him, Allah provides for him from unseen sources. Unseen sources was. And Allah Ta'ala gave him these camels. Rasulullah said, it is permissible for you. What are the lessons? That we should be turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should be turning to Allah Ta'ala with an attentive heart. Not with a qalbin lahin ghafirin, with an inattentive heart. Not a heart that has got other things that are preoccupying it. It is important that his heart has to be pure, clean. This heart has to be completely devoted, dedicated. Turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. Don't we want Allah ta'ala's special mercy to come towards us? How often we are making dua and we are looking at the other side. Who are we talking to? Any beggar who comes to us, and he begs from us, we will definitely give him, looking at his pitiable condition and the manner in which he persuades us to give him. The manner in which he makes a crying face or a plea. But if the beggar comes and looks at us and not asking anything, not showing any face that will make us feel sorry for him or sad for him, he comes with no cry. There's no signs of pain. In fact, it is as though he is coming with a don't care attitude. He's not bothered. You know, give me, don't give me, no problem. That is not the attitude we should have towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers, no matter how rich we may be in this world, whether you're a billionaire, you could be a professor, you could be an alim, you could be a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, you could be an ordinary man, you could be a poor person, you could be a male, a female, young, old, sick. You could be a king in this world. You could be a president. You could be anything. But in the court of Allah, you are a beggar. We are all beggars. All of us need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single one of us. And tonight we have come here as true beggars. Please, if somebody is blocking others, people may want to need to go to some other program or go home. They are doctors maybe. Who need to go to the hospital or whatever. We should be mindful of people who need to leave. Please, I just hope nobody is blocking any person's driveway without permission. It happens frequently, especially in big nights, and you find Fajr, Eid day, and even Eid Salah time. Many times non-Muslims are waiting to go into the driveway, but we have blocked off the whole driveway and the whole road, and this really brings a very bad image to the Muslims. It's not possible to keep on announcing. And this was found in the life of Hazrat Rahmatullah every time we get a visitor. Just the other night, it was so embarrassing. Mufti Kamaluddin is speaking, and one car, another car. Okay, it happens sometimes somebody forgets. He's a new brother. Those things we understand. It can happen to us. Normally, if you're coming with somebody, so you don't realize. If one day you came with your own car, you came in the last minute and you parked, and because you became so busy, it happens. So, sometimes it happens, rare occasions. But we should always be mindful. Especially when it comes to the rights of others and the rights of non-Muslims. How do we expect them to accept Islam? If we are not going to show good character, we can talk about Islam as much as we want. And we can have the desire for them to accept Islam. But if Islam is not found in us, in a practical manner, then brothers, we will never become those magnets and attract them. And that is the problem today. Believe me, that is the problem. Our business dealings, I'm going to digress, I can't help it.
Our business dealing, the manner in which we behave. People complain, people write emails, people say, Mona, you must talk about this, you must talk about that. That is the truth. How much are we going to speak about? So many things we're going to speak about. But let us develop this good akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Have this humility. Be mindful. Our Hazrat Mawlana Rahmatullah in his life, one of the main things in his life, that don't give any person any type of taklif. Don't harm, don't hurt any person. Be extra cautious to be kind to the next person. And that is why on his demise, until today, even non-Muslims praise him. That's the truth. Quran is in my hand. Even non-Muslims were affected by his character. May Allah Ta'ala give us that type of character. May Allah give us the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How often a Jew, an enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just on looking at the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Jew demanded his debts. He pulled Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam very harshly with his shawl, hurt him. Sahaba became enraged. They were about to strike the Jew. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't leave him. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam displayed his beautiful, his soft nature, his akhlaq. And that became the turning point of the Jew. He accepted Islam. We get complaints of the manner in which we behave at home. How we speak to our parents, our wives, our children, to our staff. We can't believe that a man actually behaves like that in the month of Ramadan. With his brothers, with his sisters, banging on the door, shouting and screaming. In the month of Ramadan, the man has got the audacity, the courage to even give his wife talaq. And we ask him, what's happening in the ummah? What's happening? What's the current affairs like? Brothers, we are to blame. We are to blame. All of us. Myself the most. We want Islam to flourish. We want Islam to go into every home. We want everybody to accept Islam. But if we display Islam the right way, in all our dealings, in our mannerisms, inshallah, then we will see how people without even reading about Islam, without reading about Islam, they will just want to be like these people. Who are these people? May Allah give all of us hidayat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will make an opening for us. When we make dua, our heart must be attentive, we must be crying. We all are beggars, we all need Allah ta'ala. There's no other extra thing we can have on these nights. There's no special extra wazifa we can read or some extra. No, we will make tilawat of Quran, we have wabaz, nasihat. We make some dhikrullah, we make dua. Tonight is a night to knock and knock and knock and knock and knock on Allah's door. And to cry. Exactly like how I said, cry like that beggar. A beggar sometimes sheds those crocodile tears. And after you give the money, he's gone, and then nothing happened. Sometimes he'll pretend that he's handicapped. And after you give him some nice amount of money, next minute you see him running across the road. Brothers, we have to, even if it means make the face of a crying person. فَإِن لَمْ تَبْكُوا فَتَبَاكُوا. That if you can't cry, some people can't cry, they just, it's not easy. We should try our best to cry. And as I mentioned the other day, don't be worried about what the next man going to say. You know, you see I'm crying. No, you need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What if this was our last chance now? It is the day of Qiyamah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, okay, now let me see how much you're going to cry and beg me and persuade me to forgive you. Let's see. How will we cry? How will we beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Think of when we were little children and we needed to go somewhere and our parent was refusing and we cried and cried and pleaded. Ah, please, last time, let me go. Oh, I need this. Please give it to me. We will cry and cry and cry until we are granted it. And once we cry, then you will see. Think of the sins we have committed in the past and make sincere tawbah. Have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think of how much we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think of our Muslim brothers and sisters throughout the world, especially in those war-torn countries, in all those countries. Think of them. What is their condition? And think of how much of favors Allah has bestowed upon us. How grateful we should be to Allah. Oh Allah, you have given me all this comfort and you have given me such luxuries. How much I should be thanking you. So we're going to show that crying face tonight, inshallah. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. In one of the verses we read about shaitan, and this is the treacherous nature of shaitan. كَمَثَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِذْ قَالَ لِلْإِنسَانِ اكْفُرْ فَلَمَّا كَفَرَ قَالَ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّنْكِ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. The same thing happened in Battle of Badr. In Battle of Badr, long story short, in one part shaitan comes, he appears as the leader of another group of people who are non-Muslims on the outskirts of Makkah. So he came to the mushrikeen leaders, to the disbelievers, and he pledged assistance. So he was with them on the battlefield. And when he saw the angels coming down, نَكَسَ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ, he actually retreated, he turned on his heels. They said, where are you going? They didn't know this was shaitan. He says, you know, I can see what you people can't see. I fear Allah. Means I fear the punishment coming now. And he began to run and escape. So shaitan is al-gharur. Shaitan is such that when you need him, when you need his assistance, he'll abandon you. He is khadul. Khadula. When a person really needs a man's assistance, his favor, and at that time the person leaves him at a lurch or abandons him. What kind of a friend is he? So shaitan can never be our friend. On the day of Qiyamah, وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ 13th para. وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرِ. When the matter will be decided, Allah will say, right, one group in Jannat, one group in Jahannam. وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ لَمَّا قُضِي الْأَمْرِ إِنَّ اللَّهُ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعَدَ الْحَقِّ. Now he'll speak the truth on the day of Qiyamah. Listen, whatever Allah promised you, that was true. وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ, I also promised you many things. فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ, I broke my promise. I was liar. I lied to you. I was disloyal to you. وَمَا كَانَ لِي عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانِ إِلَّا أَنْ دَعُوتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي. Don't blame me now. فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Shaitan will tell us, Allah protect us, Allah don't make us among the sinners. Shaitan will tell those people, those disbelievers and sinners, don't blame me, blame your own selves. I didn't force you, I had no special power, authority, and I compelled you. No such thing. I only indicated to you, I invited you, you fell for the trap. فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي. I didn't put a gun by your head. I didn't force you. I promised you, do this, do that, follow me, you'll get this. I cheated you. I was disloyal. I betrayed you. مَا أَنَا بِمُسْرِخِكُمْ وَمَا أَنْتُ بِمُسْرِخِي. Listen, I can't help you people and you can't help me today. This is the treacherous nature of shaitan, and Allah warns us again and again about shaitan. لَا تَعْبُدُوا الشَّيْطَانِ. Don't worship shaitan. There are people who believe in Satanism. They actually worship shaitan. Allah protect us and our youngsters. It's something that has crept into our society, amongst the youth also. They will take certain type of drugs and they will actually start worshipping shaitan. Allah save us. And the other one, لا تعبدوا الشيطان, not doesn't mean actually literally worshipping shaitan, but following the ways of shaitan. You are following the ways of shaitan. Ittiba of shaitan you're making. There are only two groups in this world. And both these groups have been mentioned in tonight's verses. Hizbu shaitan and Hizbullah. The Hizbu shaitan, Allah says they are khasirun. They are the losers. Ala inna Hizba shaitan humul khasirun. But ala inna Hizballah humul muflihun. The group of Allah, they are the true successful ones. What do we want? To be failures or successful? We all want to be successful. So therefore we have to follow Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That nafs and those temptations will come. They will come. In the month of Ramadan, Allah made it very easy for us. The shayateen were chained. We just had to control our nafs. And Allah has been so kind to us. Allah has given us such a beautiful Ramadan. May Allah accept our Ramadan. May Allah make us see many Ramadan with afia, with sihat, with ikhlas, with acceptance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has been so kind to us. Allah gave us the opportunity to listen to Taraweeh, to make some tilawat, whatever little ibadah we could make. So let us then understand that shaitan is our enemy. And we should only be worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and control this nafs. The moment Eid comes in, shayateen are released. Now you've got shaitan and your nafs, both tempting you. Now you're going to be strong. You're going to be very, very firm. All the lessons we learned in the month of Ramadan, now we're going to bring it into action. We're going to bring it into action. In the month of Ramadan, mashallah, we're busy cultivating. Now we're going to really ponder and reflect on all these lessons. Keep this taqwa in front. Taqwa is not only for the month of Ramadan. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ and it's all finished. It is for life. In the 18th para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ whoever obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam وَيَخْشَى اللَّهَ وَيَتَّقِي فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَائِذُونَ and who cries and he is repentant over his past and he fears his future and he adopts taqwa, he is worried about how he is going to carry out his life in the future. Then Allah says, these are the successful ones. So even though if we slip, Allah will guide us. Allah will give us the tawfiq of making tawbah istighfar. But let us not abandon the masjid environment. Let us not abandon the Quran. Let us not abandon the tilawat of the Quran in the tahajjud we are making in the qiyamul layl. No. We should still hold on to deen. Programs still take place throughout the year. It's not only the month of Ramadan and big night then we fill the masjid. No, every, imagine like this. If every salat it was like this. Say Ameen inshallah. Let us make up a firm promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That my 5 times salat I will come to the masjid. Brothers, like previously, like all the ulama, our tabligh jama'at, they keep on crying. Let us fill our masajid. We have got beautiful masajid in our country. There is no shortage. We've got beautiful musallas. We've got plenty of ulama and huffaz. We've got no shortage of copies of Quran. We've got the best of accommodation. We've got aircon, we've got fans, we've got carpet, we've got everything. Let us fill the masajid for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's one thing we need to get right. If the ummah comes onto salat, inshallah, not 2%, not 5%, 100% has to come onto salat. And if 100% is not on salat, and it doesn't pain, give us a pain, and we don't bother, then how are we true believers then? How can we claim that we are the true followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Of course we have iman. Of course we are following Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But we are not following him completely. Brothers, this is an important message. I know many brothers want to hear some nice stories and inspiring. This is the thing that we have to learn. This is the thing we have to learn. A person goes to the doctor and he's got some ailment. And as much as he doesn't want to take that same bitter medicine, he has to take it. All of us need it. Nobody is absolved. No person. Whether you're an alim or a sheikh or a mufti. In fact, the more knowledge you have, the more knowledge you have, the greater the responsibility. And there's a verse in the Holy Quran that we recited tonight. It shudders us. It runs a cold shiver down my spine. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ حُمِّلُوا تُرَاتَ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَحْمِلُوهَا كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُوا أَسْمَارًا Those people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed with knowledge. In this verse, first primarily the people who were Allah ta'ala talking about this Yahud, who had learned the Torah, but they did not practice on it. Allah says they are like donkeys who have got these books on their backs. Ulama have written that this refers to the ulama also of this ummah, who acquire knowledge and they do not bring this knowledge into action. It's like donkeys who just have books piled up on his back. May Allah save us. May Allah save us. May Allah guide us. May Allah give us first the tawfiq, the ability to practice on what we are preaching. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, lima taquluna ma la taf'alun. International Arabic also. Oh people, oh believers, why are you saying things that you're not practicing upon yourself? Of course, ulama explain. One is a da'wah you're making and one is da'wat. You can invite people to something. You're not making da'wah, that you're not claiming that I'm doing something. You're not claiming that I'm a 5-time namazi, but in reality, you're not 5-time namazi. So there's no problem inviting others towards something, even though you're not practicing upon it, but you must have the firm intention. Ya Allah, you give me the tawfiq. You're not claiming I've got it, and now you're lying to the people. No. None of us can claim anything. We are the worst of people sitting here. To sit in front here and to preach, it's an easy task.
But the responsibility is extremely great. May Allah Ta'ala guide us. May Allah make us be amongst those ulama who will be true leaders. Not those who will lead others astray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, again, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. That fear Allah, fear Allah, fear Allah. And every soul should see what it has sent forward for tomorrow, for the hereafter. What preparations have you made? When you go back home tonight, before Ramadan terminates, take out your pen, take out your book and see how much I have really done for the akhirat. How much I have done for this world. Compare. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats the word wattaqullah in the same verse. Ulama say, why has ittaqullah come twice? Some of them said, it's to remind ourselves that make fear Allah ta'ala regarding your past. That is the first ittaqullah. Make tawbah and fear Allah ta'ala regarding your past sins. And the second ittaqullah, now worry about the future. It shows us the importance of taqwa. إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has all knowledge. Allah is khabir of whatever we do. Don't be like those people who forgot Allah. Why? Allah will make them forget themselves. They will become ghafil of Allah. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not look at them with a merciful glance. As though forgetting them, ignoring them, leaving them aside. They will be crying. They will be shouting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not be bothered about them. Why? When my verses were recited to you, when my Nabi came to you, when deen was preached to you, you turned a blind eye. You showed an indifferent attitude, a donkey attitude. You used your knowledge and your skill and your intelligence and you applied your analogy in many things. Doesn't make sense to me. I feel it should be like this. Why must we follow this? Why must we do this? Doesn't work that way. Ask any doctor, any specialist, whether it's an optician or a surgeon. We have many of them amongst us. May Allah Ta'ala make them also, mashallah. They are doing sterling work. May Allah Ta'ala protect them. May Allah give them barakat. All professionals, once I was making dua, Allah forgive the doctors, lawyers, one person came. What about the accountants, Marana? So please, every person, every single person, I always make dua, alhamdulillah, every single person, especially in this masjid, because it's the whole masjid, and all the masajid of the world. Allah mustn't deprive any person. Allah must bless every single ummati, who we know, who we don't know, even if it's your enemy, Allah must bless it. Allah must bless our women folk, our youngsters. Every single person is a valuable gem. Every single person. So Allah Ta'ala says, that the people of Jannat and the people of Jahannam can never be equal. Then Allah Rabbul Izzah talks about Quran. لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to send this Quran, what we recite, what we put into our heart, if Allah had to reveal it on the huge mountain, لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدِّعًا مِّنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. After the fear of Allah, you would see this mountain shaking, humbling itself. It will actually break into fragments, into tiny bits and pieces because of the heavy responsibility, the gravity of the responsibility of the Quran, the weight of the Quran. This Quran is not a normal, ordinary book, no. When this Quran was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though it was bitter cold, it was winter, but Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would perspire profusely, beads of perspiration would flow down his face. When Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala was sitting and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had his Mubarak head on the lap of Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala, and suddenly when he came down to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was getting wahi revelation from Allah. And Rasulullah was in that position. Zayd bin Thabit says, I could actually feel that now my lap is going to tear asunder because of the weight of the Quran that is coming down to Rasulullah. Qawlan thaqeela, Allah talks about in the Quran. And we have, Hufaz Kiram ulama have by-hearted this Quran. We have put it into our heart. But has it broken our heart into fragmentations? Our hearts have become dead. We read the Quran with no feeling. We don't ponder over the verses of the Quran. It's just that we just read, now Ramadan came, now Hufaz, mashallah, and then after Ramadan, everybody back to their own type of activities. Allah protect us. Allah use our Hufaz and make them true Hafiz of Deen. A true Hafiz of Deen, especially myself, I'm weak. Our Hazrat Mawlana Rahmatul Ali, in all the Hifz Jalsas, he repeatedly say, and try and enforce and emphasize the great responsibility that this young lad who has become a Hafiz of the Quran, what now you have done. You see, it's not just becoming a Hafiz, and all the virtues of a Hafiz, only when that Hafiz just not only memorizes, but he makes amal on it. He practices, he must be a true Hafiz of the Deen. Just when he comes month of Ramadan, then he will grow some stubble or some beard. But this is not right. Just Ramadan time, we'll go over wadur. No. It's something Allah chose. Allah chose your heart and He put this Quran in your heart. So it is so important for us to preserve this Quran and to make sure that our hearts don't become filthy. Because Quran is pak. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatul Ali would say, in Marif al-Quran it is recorded, he says that, hi, afsos, it is so sad, that this Quran, if it had to be placed on mountains, the mountains would go into pieces, would break into pieces. It has no athar, no effect on the hearts of the believers, of the Muslims today. And the reason for this is khayishat nafs. It is the shahwat that we have, the hawa. We are filled with these passions, whims and desires and fancies. There's haram pleasures in our heart that has engulfed our heart. And therefore the Quran is not making that effect because we are not allowing it to make the effect. We have pushed it aside and we have given place for all the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ways and the trends and the fashions of all those who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their likes have come into our heart. Their pleasures, their type of entertainment, their type of ghaflat has come into our lives. May Allah Ta'ala remove this ghaflat from our hearts. May Allah Ta'ala make us have the pure heart and turn to Allah Rabbul Izzat. Then we will see, and Allah Ta'ala talks about His power and some of His beautiful qualities Allah has mentioned. Allah Ta'ala is so loving, so loving, so loving. Towards the end of this surah, Allah Ta'ala talks about, يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَوْبَةً نَصُوحًا. And O believers, make a genuine tawbah to Allah. تَوْبَةً نَصُوحًا is sincere, a genuine, a pure tawbah. Where ulama have mentioned, Sayyidina Mu'adh bin Jabal, رضي الله عنه, Sahabi of Rasulullah said, the tawbatan nasuha is such a tawbah, that when you make tawbah from a sin, you will never go back to that sin. Just as after milking a cow, you cannot stuff the milk back into the udders of the cow. It's not possible. It's not possible. So when you make that tawbah, you must be genuine. You must cry to Allah. And that is what we require tonight, brothers. Yes. Myself and my Allah. Myself and my Allah. Ya Allah, you know what's in my heart. You know what I have done. Ya Allah, tonight I am serious. Ya Allah, I promise you. I know I made tawbah many times and I broke the tawbah. Ya Allah, I need you desperately now. Ya Allah, I did not want to live this life that I am living now. Ya Allah, I want to live a more pure life. A life which has your love. A life which has got sukoon in it. A life that has got peace, tranquility, contentment. A life that will bring me closer to you, my Allah. This is what we require. All of us require this. So this pure tawbah we need to make. I'm not going to go into the whole grammar part of nasuha, which ulama have mentioned, when a person has holes in his garment, so he has to patch and mend that garment. All the holes in the garment, he has to patch those holes. Like that, we have got so many deficiencies in our life. Now when you make tawbah to Allah, we are going to patch and we're going to mend our deeds. So what is simply what is tawbah, I'm going to mention again. Firstly, feel that nadamat, that real shame. The real shame. And regret and the remorse for having committed that sin, whatever sin we have committed. And number two, abandon that sin. Abandon it. Mustn't happen that while we're still doing the sin, we're saying Tawbah, Tawbah, Astaghfirullah. And number three, make that azam, that firm determination, Ya Allah, come what may, I am not going to go back to that sin. Of course, when it refers to hukukul ibad, you're going to pay back the money that you have taken away, or usurped if you ask the person for maaf. That's an added condition when it comes to hukukul ibad. We're talking hukukullah, this is what you should make Tawbah for. May Allah Ta'ala give all of us that noor of the Quran, noor of Iman, that noor which I spoke about last night, Taraweeh, that the believers, يَوْمَ تَرَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَسْعَى نُورُهُمْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ بُشْرَاكُمُ الْيَوْمَ جَنَّاتِ That just as they come to Pul Sirat, they will have that noor, and that will take them across the Pul Sirat, but the munafiqeen, the disbelievers, won't have that noor. And in tonight's Taraweeh, the same thing Allah spoke about noor. أَتْمِمْ لَنَا نُورَنَا The believers, when they will see the munafiqeen and the disbelievers don't have any light, Ya Allah, you complete our noor for us. Don't let our noor become dim. Don't take away our light. Ya Allah, let us help us to cross that pul sirat with ease and brighten our way for us. We will terminate now, inshallah. We will make dua now, inshallah. And then after that, we'll have the next session, inshallah. We'll announce the next program. Brothers, tonight again is a night to cry, 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 cry. Allah knows what is Laylatul Qadr night. The one dua that we've been taught for Laylatul Qadr, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha says, Allahumma innaka, Rasul's daughter, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa, fa'afu anna. We add Kareem to it, but the words, Allahumma innaka afuun, oh Allah, you are most forgiving. You are most forgiving. Tuhibbul afwa, you love to forgive. Fa'afu anna. Ya Allah, you forgive us. Ya Allah, you forgive us. All those brothers outside, inshallah, you can come inside. We'll make dua now. Every person should be silent now. Every person should be now focused only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is our last chances we have now. Tonight 27 night, tomorrow 28, then 29, then Ramadan is over. Let us not regret after the month of Ramadan. We've got this chance now. Now let us cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and beg Allah ta'ala for forgiveness, inshallah. I mentioned the other day, the elderly woman, 93 years old, she's sitting for itikaf also. The elderly people making so much of tilawat, so much of ibadat. We are young, mashallah, we are fit. Allah has given us health. The walk can be long, but isn't we need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Aren't we beggars tonight? When we have conversations on our cell phone, then how long do we talk for? 1.5 minutes or 2 minutes? All this free calls we have now, this telecom, 300 rand we pay a month. Every time we phone in this, people's husband will say, no, you know, the wife is on the phone. What must I do? Our ladies can speak for long, mashallah. 1 hour minimum, then cut the call, the phone again, because it's free calls. So for talking dunya purposes, Ajib, we talk so much and so much and so much, and the stories never end. And we can't talk to Allah. We can't beg from Allah. There's a young boy, I think he is here in this gathering. He emailed me just today. Allah gave him complete shifa. He was diagnosed with cancer a few years back now, in 2008. And he says, this year, with Allah's fazal, he's young, very young, not even, I don't think he's baligh. He says, this year, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala gave me the ability, I kept all my rozas. And I read all my tarawis in this masjid. Besides the third night, I was too exhausted, I was too weak, I felt so sorry for him. Now, if we have people who have so much of fervor, we've got elderly people here who are sitting on the chairs, and they are sickly. They are sickly. There are ladies at home who are sickly also. But they look for these opportunities. Our Muhammad Bhai, we shouldn't forget him in our du'as. Every year he sits for itikaf, our Fazlur's father. Allah give him also complete shifa. Every year he sits for itikaf in this masjid, I don't know from how many years. Unfortunately, this year he is quite ill, so we should make du'a for him. And there are so many others, I can't even remember. There's some people in Sakrat at this moment. Some people, doctors have just given them a few hours. Allah Ta'ala knows best. But we should make dua for all these sick people, for family, friends. I can't remember all the names. So, brother, we know who they are. We need to make dua for them. We need to make dua for our parents, some of our family members who have passed away, friends who have passed away. We've got some financial problem. We've got some social problem. We've got some depression. We've got some jadu that is troubling us. Some whatever it is. We all know what. Now, let us cry to Allah Subhanahu. But mainly, ask Allah for forgiveness and ask Allah Ta'ala to connect ourselves to Him. Inshallah. Recite Durood Sharif.